Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host, Brett Hill, and Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." It's time, once again, to learn about and lean on some of God's faithful promises. So grab your Bibles, clear your hearts, and prepare your minds to receive the precious Word of God. Hello, everyone around the world, here in the United States and all the countries that's listening in. Welcome to our very first podcast of the new year, 2024. I hope you like that new introduction. We're just stirring things up, making some new things going on, just trying to keep people excited about serving the Lord here in 2024. So the first message that we're going to have here at the beginning of the year is the power you forgot you have. It's coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 6 through 10. I'm in the King James Version as usually, so if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run back and get your Bible, come join us. 2 Timothy 1 6 through 10. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for your word. I ask your blessings upon this message, God, that your hand would be on it, that you would touch your people, their ears, and their understanding to receive your message in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, church, Paul's writing to someone he desperately cares about. He's writing to Timothy, and Paul is exhorting Timothy to stir up the gift of God within him, and he's telling him that you need to have some things stirred up inside of you. You need to go back and remember some things. Too often enough, just as the children of Israel did in the Old Testament and apparently still do, but we, the church of the living God, forget what God has done for us and what he's done in us at times, and we need to remember the things he's done. And yet, yes, I know that we become knowledgeable in the scriptures. We listen to podcasts like this one. We study the word. We listen to preaching. We learn how to encourage other people. We greet people with love and shake their hands. We tell people how much Jesus loves them. And all this stuff is really great acts of faith and love, and they should be done. This is something that we should be doing according to the scriptures. But earlier in this particular chapter, Paul is telling Timothy that he desires to see him. He's mindful of Timothy's tears. Paul is reminding Timothy of the faith that his grandmother and his mother had displayed. Paul's got Timothy on his mind, and Paul is mindful of what Timothy is going through. Timothy must be dealing with a trial, and Paul is telling him, "I'm putting you in remembrance so that you will stir up the gift of God that is inside you." Church, sometimes we need to remember some things that God has done. Sometimes the memory of something God has done for us will stir us up inside. It will get us excited again about what God is doing. And I want to see the church of the living God stirred up here in 2024, and let God begin to use you and move in your life. And we set these New Year's resolutions all the time, and a lot of people set them for things that's not really important and just want to do it for self. And this right here, set a new resolution in yourself and your spirit this year to stir up the gift of God inside of you so that God can use you in different areas and advance his kingdom and move his spirit through you and make you more useful to his kingdom. This is what Paul is doing here for Timothy. This is what God is also wanting to do for his church today. He wants us to remember some things so that our gift will stay stirred up. Now, Paul mentioned Timothy's grandmother here. That's faith passed down from generation to generation. Paul also mentioned Timothy's mother and her faith. Why? Paul's trying to stir up Timothy's faith. Oh, church, listen, there is nothing like remembering how mama used to pray for you. There's nothing like remembering a grandmother's prayers to stir you up and get your faith in high gear. I want to tell you a story really quick. I can remember the stories that my mother told me as I was growing up. She was sharing when she was a little child, and she would hear her own mother in her prayer closet late at night while my mother would be a little child laying down in bed trying to sleep, and maybe even being asleep and being woken up by the sound of her own mother's voice crying out her name to God. She would wake up hearing her name mentioned by her mother, but it wasn't her calling upon her, it was her mother calling out her name before God Almighty and praying for her and praying for the other children and praying for the church and praying for family members. And my mother would tell that story as she got older and older and older, even as a teenager and a young adult, that this continued night after night after night in her life. And even as she became married and got into her own family and started having her own children, I can remember when I was laying in bed at night and would hear my mother's prayers go up before the Lord. I would wake up hearing my name called to the God Almighty, saying, touch my son, keep my son safe, take care of my children. I've never heard or known a prayer of my mother prayed that didn't get answered. And knowing that those two generations of women in my life that continued to pray and continued to pour out names and lift up people to God, that church stirs me up, because I know that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And my Bible says that he is no respecter of persons. So listen, for Jacob's sake in that scenario, God is the God of Abraham and Isaac. So he will do the same thing for Jacob as he did for those previous two generations. And for Timothy's sake, right here where Paul is talking about Timothy, I put you in remembrance, and he's mentioning his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. So he will do the same thing for Timothy as he did for his previous two generations. You see where I'm going with this, don't you, church? What really stirs me up here is even for my sake, what God did for my grandmother when my mother was a child, what God done for my mother when she was praying for me and when she was praying for other people, what God did for those two generations. Well, glory, come on. I want you to get stirred up this morning, church, because what God has done for them, he will do for me. He's the same God. He's got the same promises. He's got the same thoughts and prayers and things that he is doing for all the people, that he's no respecter of person, and your mother and your father and your grandparents, all of your family that has went before you, the generations where God has worked in their lives, his promises are the same for you. His commitment to them is the same commitment that he has for you. And that, church, should stir somebody's faith up today, because what is really needed in all of us sometimes is to bring to remembrance some things that God has done, to realize that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I will never change. And that's something that should be exciting for the church of the living God today, to realize that God is still on the throne. He's still excited about helping his children. He still hears our prayers. He's still faithful to answer our prayers. He still comes to our side when we need him. He is still God Jehovah, and there is none like him. Now, Paul is telling Timothy right here in this particular service, in this letter he's writing to him, he says, I am persuaded that he, talking about God, Paul is telling Timothy, I am persuaded that God is able to keep that which I have committed to him. So I want you to find out right now, have you committed to God? Have you committed yourself to him? Have you turned your life over to him and let him have control and tell you how you need to live your life, lead and guide you through his word, and not be making your own bad choices, not be going down the path you choose for yourself? Let God God's plans be your plans. Let God's path be your path. Paul is telling Timothy, I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I have committed to him. And he goes on to say, Timothy, you need to hold fast to that sound word. And he even goes down to verse 14. It says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Well, what good thing is Paul speaking of here? Because Paul realizes, and you should realize, I realize, all of us know there's lots and lots of good things that God has done for us. Many are innumerable. We can't even think and fathom all the great things that God has done. So let's look at it a bit, because one of the good things that we need to know about God is the fact that one of those good things that he has provided is God's power. Now, it takes a lot of power to create with your own words. If we go back in the beginning in Genesis and we see where God just spoke with his own mouth, spoke words out of his mouth and created everything that we see, everything that the universe has to offer as far as the best telescope could be able to see and beyond, God created that with his own words. And it takes a lot of power to create with your own words. It also takes a lot of power to cause life to exist with your very breath. He spoke breath into us and breathed his breath into us and caused us to be alive. And it takes a lot of power to control the flow of all creation, to where planets rotate the sun and the solar systems are put into place and they all function the same way, the way that they're supposed to. It takes a lot of power to make the planets orbit the sun. God is full of power, and the power that does all of these things daily, that we see, that we look up into the sky and see the stars sparkle, and we see the moon go across the sky, we see the sun go across. God does all of that stuff. He has the power to do it. And God, it's not just any old power, but the Greek word that was used to describe God's power is dunamis power. It is all power and its existence rolled up into one God. This is the best way to describe dunamis. It's all existing power. It's limitless. It don't have limits or boundaries. It is all inclusive, and God is the only one that has all that power. Now, and we've talked a whole lot about power lately. All last year, as we were going through Revelation, we still have a few chapters to talk about, and we'll wrap that up here in the month of January here in this new year. But we've talked a whole lot about power on the Revelation studies, and we've learned about dunamis power and exousia power, and we know that exousia power is a power that is delegated from the one that has dunamis power. And that exousia power is a limited power that is to a specific task that is given to someone or something, an angel or something like that, to carry out the will of the one that has dunamis power. Now, God is the only one that is all-powerful. He is dunamis power at its fullest. There are no gods beside him. He is God all by himself. There are plenty who are wannabe gods. There are people that claim that they serve other gods. And there are statues and there's monuments. But those things were made out of stuff that God created. And they were created by God, by man's hand. And not living creatures. Not something that has been in existence all the time. They are creations. God is the ultimate creator. He was not created. He is the mighty existence of all power and all authority and all wisdom and all knowledge. There is no power without him. He is all powerful. So where does all this fit in with us, the church? What part of this thing do we need, as Paul said, brought into remembrance? So let's talk about that, because it's pretty simple when we go a little deeper into Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, and I use this one a lot. I say you need to 2 Timothy 2 and 15, that thing. I'm meaning, just like the verse says, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the truth is that every time that we hear Jesus in the scriptures, he just keeps getting better and better. Every time that Jesus' name is mentioned in the scriptures, there's some wonderful things that comes out of that. But I want you to know that we just celebrated Christmas, and we talked about the baby that was in the manger and what Jesus' purpose for being born of the Spirit of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary, and was born in that manger, and the angel spoke to the shepherds, and the wise men traveled from afar off to come find him, to worship him, all the things that we talked about in that. But I want you to know that in Bethlehem, he was called Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. And as he grew up and he studied and he began to teach and heal people, and he walked on the water and all the miracles that he performed, we saw that even when he went to the cross and he was lifted up, as the scripture says, I will draw all men unto myself. And he said, I'll willfully lay my life down. At the cross, he was God for us. And when he was resurrected from the grave, and he walked this earth for 40 days and then ascended, and he said, hang around in the city for a little while. 50 days after his resurrection at the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered in that upper room and in one mind and one accord, and the Spirit of God came down upon them and the Holy Ghost entered into them, he became God in us. And that should stir somebody up today, that Jesus is everything that you need. He has become everything that we need to be looking for and longing for. Why? Because Paul wrote, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that Greek word that Paul used in this particular passage when he was writing this scripture, that word for power is not exousia power that is given for some assignment from God. The word that Paul used, that spirit of power that is given to you, Paul used that word dunamis. Why? Because he's God in us now, and his power, that dunamis power, is that same power that Paul said was in us. So maybe you forgot what you have inside of you. Maybe you forgot the power that's in you. The devil has to bow down to God's power, church. You don't have to fear. You don't have an assigned power. You have the greater is he that is in me power. You have that kind of power. The King of kings and Lord of lords has moved inside of you. Maybe you've forgotten that you have that. Maybe you've let that slip your mind as the world has told you all the troubles that you should have and all the things that you should worry about. Maybe you've forgotten that you've got that dunamis power in you. Maybe you've forgotten that the Holy Spirit that came down at that day of Pentecost longs to live inside of you and work through you. Listen, that this is no longer a Job conversation, church. I want you to understand this. This is not Satan going up to the throne room and talking to God in the throne room to get permission to come down and try to bother you. This is God himself living inside of you, and Satan has to stand and look you in the eye and listen while you rebuke him and put his tail between his legs and send him packing, because the dunamis power of God Almighty lives inside of you. As Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, the Father looked at him and said, now all power and authority I have given to you. And Jesus said, I share it with you. He said, you have become joint heirs with me. I sit in the throne and you rule and reign with me. You have become grafted into the vine. My Father has adopted you into the family, and you don't get a 60-40 or a 30-70 or whatever. You and I work hand in hand. We are equal, joint heirs in everything that God the Father has given now, and you have the same power that God has poured into Jesus Christ. He has shared it with you, and that's why he says, if you ask anything in my name, believing, you will have it, because the Father needs to be glorified in this power that he has given us. We have a power that nobody else has. We're not delegated by exousia. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2 and 9, he said, God has given Jesus a name that is above every name, and that every knee, not just some people, not just the ones that want to, he said every knee in heaven, every knee in earth, every knee under the earth bows to the one that is inside of you. So you have nothing to fear, church, nothing to worry about as you go into this new year, thinking that maybe the politics in your country ain't very good, thinking that maybe the wrong person might become president, maybe you'll get the wrong congressman or senator, maybe your government just ain't doing the things that you think. You don't have anything to worry about, because the scripture says you are not of this world, that you are part of God's kingdom, and God lives inside of you, and that the world here gives in to the heart of a believer. It is your faith in Jesus Christ that dictates your footsteps. He says that God ordains your footsteps. It is his word that causes you to walk out his will in your life. You don't need to be fearing what other politicians, what men does here on this earth, because because they cannot disturb your eternal soul. Only God can do that, and He's already laid out an eternity in love and joy and peace for you that surpasses all understanding, and man cannot change that. You have the power of God inside of you to walk the life that God has dictated to you in His Word and told you that I'll be there. I'll stick with you closer than a brother. I'll never leave you nor forsake you because I love you. I've died for you. I've grafted you into my vine, into my family. You've been adopted in as sons and daughters. And He didn't stop there. He said, you are kings and priests with me. So listen, don't be worried about what the world's got to offer here in 2024 because you are kings and priests in the kingdom of God and you have nothing to worry about, church. And you need to bring this power to remembrance today and stir up your gift that is inside of you. Stir up that spirit that is inside of you. Stand up on your two feet and walk like the child of God that He wants you to be. Stand up on your two feet and fight the enemy with the Word of God. Don't do it with hands and feet. Don't do it with weapons of earthly destruction, but do it with the power of the Word of God. Do it with the faith that's inside of you and walk out the victory that's already been won on the cross of Calvary and live your life to the fullest according to the direction that God's Word wants you to go this year. Amen. I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to have that freedom and remember the power that you forgot that you have because you already have the victory. You already have the power to overcome the enemy. You already have the power to send him packing every time he comes around. You just need to keep it stirred up inside of you to realize what you have living and breathing through you and being there to help you and walking beside you every day of your life. That's encouraging. That should stir you up today. Amen. I want you to live your life to the fullest. Praise God. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful, God, that you've given us the power over the enemy, power over this world. And God, I just praise you that the listeners are getting this information today here on the first podcast in the first part of this year, 2024. God, that you would let the seed that is sown in this message today be the first fruits of your word going out to the listeners, God, that it would bring forth the fruit and bring the harvest for the entire year, God, that they would see that it is your power that keeps us functioning. It is your will that keeps us walking out your will in our lives. God, that we have nothing to fear because you have conquered this world. You have overcome this world and you said we've been made overcomers through you, Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you let this revelation become truth in our lives that we could walk it out today. Lord, touch the listeners. Lord, let this word sink in. Get rid of the stony hearts, give them a heart of flesh, and let the seed bring forth the harvest. Because Lord, you said that your word, when it goes out, it always comes back accomplishing everything that it was sent out to do. So God, I pray that over this word today for everyone that is listening to it, that their lives would be changed and be more victorious and more prosperous in you spiritually in the year of 2024. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today on this first message in 2024. And I look forward to plenty more of them and share the word of God with other people. Get out there and testify. Give your testimony of what God has done to you. Share this podcast. Let others get tuned in so that they can believe in Jesus Christ, so that they can be fed spiritually and begin to walk in the victory that God intended for all of us to have. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and we'll see you on the next one.